from the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, this is Inside West Virginia Politics with Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Hello, everyone, and happy weekend. Welcome to another edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. I'm your host, Mark Curtis. We're going to go international this week. I want to introduce West Virginia Senate President Republican Craig Blair of Berkeley County. Good to see you on the program again.
Thank you, Mark.
You are just back from a delegation trip to Taiwan. West Virginia has opened a trade office in Taiwan. You went with probably a dozen other delegates, senators, and state officials, including the Commerce Secretary and so forth. Why are we moving and opening an office in Taiwan?
Well, back in 2018 is when I first visited Taiwan, and I realized that we had a lot in common. And at that point in time, there's a senator from Virginia, Senator Bryce Reeves, and we got to talking about it and said, we need to do trade offices, him for Virginia and us from West Virginia. And so when I became the Senate President, this is something that we got a little bit of resources now because of how we've managed our budget and how we're growing the economy in the state of West Virginia. But you got to have the vision to continue to grow our economy. And when I was in Taiwan before, Taipei specifically, I met with Far East New Century, the CEO, of who is actually, they have a company in West Virginia right now. It's over in Mason County.
APG Polytech. It's in Mason County. We're going to talk about that.
Thank you. I realized that, wait a minute, we can build relationships in both directions. And with what's going on with mainland China and all, it gives an even greater opportunity for the state of West Virginia to be able to work with them and have investment in the state to create jobs.
Let's talk about things. I mean, coal comes to mind and natural gas comes to mind first, but what do we have that Taiwan needs that we can sell to them?
Oh, technology to begin with, and the mining technology to begin with on that. There is some coal in the island. By the way, they've got nuclear reactors over there, and they're phasing those out. Interesting enough on that, and it's got more to do with what took place in Japan and those nuclear reactors. But it's the desire of what they have for that. But what we've got in common with them, their people are like our people. I mean, they're hardworking, they're warm, they're caring. They've got a little bit of a language barrier, but not much. When we opened up the trade office, I had three people that were Taiwanese that graduated from WVU that happened to be there for that. And then they sang Country Roads. You should hear Country Roads being sang a half a world away and knowing the words to that.
I've been at our capital when their delegations have been here a couple of times, and they are really excited about doing business with West Virginia. What things do they have that they can sell us or trade with us?
Oh my golly, you see it all the time. I grew up seeing Made in Taiwan but right here, Foxconn, that is a Taiwanese company, and they're the ones that actually put together the Apple iPhones. And they do much, much more than that. So there's all kinds of opportunities through industry. There may be people out here that understand what I'm talking about. They make clevises. I've seen clevises that you use for mountain climbing, and I've seen them bigger than this room. Yeah. Yoke Industries does that. And so there is a host of things we can trade back and forth with each other. But what I'm more interested in is the jobs that are associated with that. We need to bring more and more jobs to be able to grow our tax base. We got a lower unemployment in this state right now, and we need to keep it that way. And we need to be able to grow our population and our students, our number one export. They don't need to go to Taiwan. We need to keep them right here in West Virginia, whether they're graduating from a university, a CTC, or our high schools, and get them to work in West Virginia. We've got to have those jobs for them. This is the mechanics of that we're working to. And that grows our tax base, that way we can lower taxes further.
Well, this is exciting. Again, West Virginia has opened its trade office in the nation of Taiwan. Senator Blair went with a huge delegation of our folks. We're going to set up a trade office in Ireland, and it's important that West Virginia does business globally and not just to our surrounding states.
Got to think big, dream big, and work together. And with what's taking place in China right now, This is a wonderful opportunity to take place, to do and build a friendship. And we've got a great friendship to begin with them.
All right, good to know. This is exciting. We'll have more on this in the coming months. We want to thank State Senate President Craig Blair for being here. Always good to see you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I should point out we're the exact same age. And I remember all the toys we had as kids that said made in Taiwan. So more to come. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend to Inside West Virginia Politics. Lots going on in the nation's capital. Let's get right to it with Congresswoman Carol Miller, Republican, 1st District of West Virginia. Great to have you on the program again.
Always good to see you, Mark.
The big issue of the week, I mean, there's a lot of them, but the end or the repeal or the cessation of Title 42, which applies to immigrants coming across the southern border. What are your concerns about this policy going away now?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I was watching TV at 4 a.m. this morning and seeing all the immigrants trying to get over here as fast as they can. And it's mind-boggling what people in Texas and any of these cities that have received them are going to do. It's in a crisis, in my opinion.
And eventually that winds up in West Virginia. What have you seen in terms of the devastation in the state from fentanyl and the other drugs you mentioned?
Well, in 2020, over 1,000 West Virginians were killed just with fentanyl. I think it's number three out of the four drug deaths right now in West Virginia, and the overdose deaths, just, it's mind-boggling. They topped over 100,000 in 2021, and a lot of those were with fentanyl. They're killing our children, and nationwide drug overdoses basically surpass car accidents, guns, and terrible flus. So I'm so upset about it.
Well, let's get to another topic. We're going to be watching the border in the days ahead because we know there's going to be a lot of activity. The other big thing going on in Washington is whether to raise the debt ceiling. In exchange, at least a lot of Republicans want to see significant spending cuts. Where do you stand on this and where do you see it going?
I absolutely stand very firmly with that. I take it back to that sending the kid to college and they spent the credit card up to the max, and you still have a house payment and a car payment. You still got to buy groceries and you hope your hot water tank doesn't go bust. We have a problem. We have a spending problem. And it's just one more way that we are throwing our country to the wall. It's the wrong thing to do. What we're doing with the debt limit is perfect. We are keeping our spending at last year's level. We're being very practical and very providing stability and just using common sense.
I've got to talk to you about another controversy that erupted this week on Thursday. The EPA issued a statement saying it wishes to create a proposed rule to regulate coal and gas-fired power plants. What would that do, in your estimation, to West Virginia?
It would devastate us. I mean, we already suffered through the war on coal. We've been blessed with all the Marcellus shale that we've had and done it so cleanly. It's just another nail in the coffin. Thanks a lot, Biden. I mean, I just don't understand where they're coming with this. And I'm sure that China is just laughing out loud at what we're doing.
I want to ask you about President Trump for a moment, because a lot of Republicans are seeking his endorsement, and he's endorsing a lot of Republicans as we head to 2020. He had another legal defeat this week in the courts, a civil lawsuit. Do you plan to ask for Donald Trump's endorsement again, and will you accept it if he endorses you? And on the other hand, will you endorse him?
President Trump endorsed me both times I ran. I felt the same way about him. We had a very strong president, and we need a very strong president. So, of course, I stand with the man, but we also have to see what's going to happen in the next year. But I absolutely respect him and what he has done and how well the country was doing under his management.
We got 30 seconds left. What would you fix? Back to the southern border, what would you do different? What would you fix down there? You were there not too long ago.
I was there. I tell you, we are understaffed. They are underpaid. They should have a huge raise and be paid for overtime. And we should have twice as many guards there to help with the problem. I feel so sorry for our border, our customs and our borders people, because they bear the brunt of tragedy. And, you know, the kids that are being brought over here or dumped at the babies, dumped at the border, it's awful. So, you know, anything we can do to help them, build a wall. It's time.
Interesting conversation today. We covered a lot of topics. We want to thank Congresswoman Carol Miller joining us from Washington, D.C. Be well and safe travels, Congresswoman.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after the break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend to Inside West Virginia Politics. We're going to shift gears here from politics and talk a little bit about the financial shape of the state of West Virginia. I want to introduce the Honorable Riley Moore, Republican, the treasurer of the great state of West Virginia. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, let's talk about the HOPE Scholarship Program, because the deadline is Monday, May 15th. The day before my birthday, not that I'm asking people to send cards and letters, but seriously, Monday, May 15th, this show airs on Saturday and Sunday across the state at different times. So this coming Monday, people are going to have the deadline. What's your advice?
Yeah, so May 15th is the deadline. One thing to keep in mind here is that is the deadline to apply, not to be approved. So once you've applied, within 45 days, the application will be either approved or denied. So people don't get too worked up on the 15th as the deadline. That's a submission deadline.
We should point out, and this is very important, that if you've been approved in a past year, you have to reapply. It's not all, you don't automatically enroll into the next year.
No, every year you have to reapply. And so that's, we can reconfirm residency and things of that nature. So yes, if you've already been approved, reapply. And we are working through these, I mean, at a rapid rate. I mean, at this point now, we have almost 5,000 individual students that have applied. We have approved just over 3,000 so far. That's quite an increase from last year. So it's a pretty popular program. Look, I'm a huge advocate of educational choice and freedom. I love this program, and it's my honor to be able to run it.
Let's tell folks, the website is HopeScholarshipWV.com, HopeScholarshipWV.com, and they can get more information there. You've also returned nearly $21 million of unclaimed property back to residents of West Virginia. That's, the most ever?
That is the most ever, and we're not even at the end of the fiscal year. We did a huge modernization of the Unclaimed Property Act just a couple years ago here in the last previous two sessions, which we have the Cash Now program, where we are sending out, we verify on our end individuals and their addresses, and in between $100 and $5,000, we send checks out automatically. We've also changed our advertising, where we're not mandated by law just to advertise in newspapers. You might actually see unclaimed property advertised on this program, which
exactly.
We do, and many others. And the advertising is working, and those dollars that we spend on the advertising are paying off, because we return more money than any time in state history.
And you have a website for that too, wvunclaimedproperty.com.
That's right.
You issued a statement saying the state is now in the strongest financial position it's ever been in. Why is that? Where are we in terms of our fiscal strength, and what has changed? I know I came here 8 years ago, we were $500 million in the hole in the budget, so lots have changed.
I was there for that. In the legislature. So look, through the work of the Republican legislature and their hard work in terms of holding the line, flat budgets year in and year out, tax collections also increasing. But a really important point here is 2 years ago, I went to legislature and asked to change the manner in which I could invest money. So previous to that, I was mandated to have 15% of the entire operating funds in the state invested in treasury notes. We changed that to give me more flexibility, where we can invest in commercial paper, overnight repo, some of these kind of short-term debt instruments, and we have earned tremendous amount of money. When I started in this office, we had $6.5 billion in the operating fund. We now have over $10.5 billion assets under management in the operating funds of this state. And I'm proud to say that. And it's been the hard work of the governor, the legislature, and my office that has gotten us there.
I want to circle back to Hope Scholarships for just a second, because there was a legal battle. It got challenged. Who is eligible now to apply for a Hope Scholarship? Is it just public school kids, private school, homeschool? Explain the parameters there.
So the legal challenge was over the constitutionality of it. And as I retained, it was constitutional. And that's what the Supreme Court found. Now, who is eligible? Rising kindergartners are all eligible to apply. Currently, children who are enrolled in public school. If you are in homeschool or private school right now, you're not eligible until 2026 unless you opt to do public school for 45 days and then apply. Which is big. It's a big bugaboo. I'm not a fan of it, but it's the way the bill passed in the legislature.
All right, we have 30 seconds. You're also running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District. How's that going so far? You seem to be getting all over the state.
Oh, yep. You know, look, if I'm not working hard, it would drive me crazy. So I'm always out there. We're talking to folks all over the district and all over the state of West Virginia as I do this job. Huge support everywhere. Obviously, there's a poll that just came out recently. Has me over 88% right now. We're feeling very strong. We have the most cash on hand, and I think we're going to win this thing.
All right, well, we'll talk about it more and have your opponents on again, too, as we get closer to the primary. We want to thank State Treasurer Riley Moore, Republican, for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
And again, HopeScholarshipWV.com. HopeScholarshipWV.com. Get your application in by Monday. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And welcome back to our final segment this weekend on Inside West Virginia Politics. We have a very important program to talk about today and a fundraiser that is going to help that program out. I want to introduce Joe Bozick. He is the executive director of Game Changer here in West Virginia. Good to have you on the program, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
This is a very important program, Game Changer, trying to keep kids off of drugs in the Mountain State. Explain what Game Changer is all about.
Well, actually, Game Changer is a prevention education initiative that we started a little over 3 years ago, and we forged a partnership with the Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation and the United States Drug Enforcement Administration, more commonly known as the DEA. And what we're doing is we've designed prevention education curriculum that we are now in 12 pilot schools in West Virginia to begin teaching our kids about the hazards of drugs, about the opioid and substance misuse problem that's killing our kids every day, and to teach them why to stay off drugs.
You have a very popular and powerful documentary that's out that's airing in a lot of schools and other places called One Pill Can Kill. It's about educating young people about fentanyl and the dangers. How is that going?
It's going absolutely fabulous, and I cannot thank the State Department of Education and our state school superintendent, David Roach, enough, along with Governor Justice, of course, because we've got it in middle and high schools now in West Virginia. And One Pill Can Kill was a collaboration with the DEA. While we have such a strong belief in our prevention education curriculum, the results will not be instant. That prevention education curriculum will be instituted over a 3 to 5 year period, and it will take a while for the education process to kick in. That being said, fentanyl is killing people every day, and we just didn't want to sit by idly. So we worked and produced a 34-minute film that is for middle and high schoolers that warns about the dangers of actually these kids playing Russian roulette by purchasing drugs over the internet that now 60% are laced with deadly fentanyl.
I want to mention the big dinner and golf tournament coming up. This is May 24th is the dinner. May 25th is the golf tournament at the Greenbrier. This is a big fundraiser, and it's also, you know, it's loaded with celebrities. I mean, you have every major politician in the state, coaches, athletes. I mean, talk about this.
I'll tell you, it just makes my heart happy to even begin to talk about it, Mark, because what this is a show of the strength that I asked for 3 years ago at the inaugural one. As you know, we have a star-studded cast of people coming from all walks of life, from business, from politics, and from athletics. We've got great support from Marshall and great support from WVU. And of course, our United States senators, Senator Manchin, Senator Capito, and of course, our head coach, Governor Justice, headline. Everyone's come together. This is West Virginians pulling together to help the kids and the youth and the communities of West Virginia.
I want to mention the website's GameChangerUSA.org if people want to find out about the golf tournament and the dinner and they want to attend. Joe, I do have to ask you this. There was a recent controversy where TikTok basically banned or kicked Game Changer off of its platform. What's the status of that now? Has it been resolved?
Well, it's been resolved because TikTok, through the help, you know, Senator Manchin became aware of the fact we were asked to off. It was a social media program we had ran in conjunction with the One Pill Can Kill program. And TikTok, after a month, said that we were no longer welcome on there. They did come back after Senator Manchin got involved and said that we could, under some guidelines, and we chose just to go other routes because we felt that right now, with the way things are with TikTok, it would probably be better for us to use other avenues to reach our youth on social media.
Well, it's a great program. Again, GameChangerUSA.org. Folks can find out all about it and find out about One Pill Can Kill. Again, the golf tournament is the 25th of May. The dinner is the night before on the 24th. We want to thank Joe Bosick, the executive director of Game Changer, for joining us. Joe, great program. We wish you much success.
Thank you very much, Mark, and thank you for your support. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And that'll do it for this week's edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. We'll see you back here again next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Inside West Virginia Politics. You can hear more from state, local, and federal lawmakers each and every Sunday morning on WOWK-TV in Charleston, WBOY-TV in Clarksburg, WDVM in the Eastern Panhandle, WTRF in Wheeling, and WVNS in Beckley. You can also find a new episode of the Inside West Virginia Politics podcast right here on this feed every Monday morning. If you like the show, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Inside West Virginia Politics is a Nexstar Media Group production, hosted and managed by Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is recorded and edited inside the studios of WOWK-TV in Charleston, West Virginia. All rights reserved.